As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm at Eddie Murphy's Harlem Nights premiere.
Mike's wardrobe is out of here. He can always dress.
And I got the hat.
With the brim and the whole thing.
And so I'm hanging out, right, and I'm hitting on these two Asian girls who look beautiful. I'm hitting on them, right? But they're not talking to me and no and stuff. And so I'm pissed off and I leave. So the premiere, the show is over, right? The movie's over. I come out. I see him. He got the two same girls. Hey, you like to hang out with us?
That's like what you were saying. You guys are in like parallel universes.
Always.
Another episode of Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson and
Evan Britton.
And we have such a special guest here today. Today is a dear friend of mine, also a personal friend. Albie Shaw is a sensational R&B singer. He's the man. I think he just got off tour. He's my brother. And everybody, he's here for you. I'll talk to the people.
Yes, welcome. Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome,
good to
brother.
See you. Good to see you. Thank you for the invitation. This is truly amazing. We've had such an amazing journey over the years.
And, I agree.
It's good to see where we are today. You know, we are thriving and we are blessed and continue. Yeah, come on, you know what it is.
Thank God.
You know that mountain we've climbed.
It's amazing.
And Michael and I have had these parallel universes, you know, whether we see each other all the time or maybe don't, you know, from traveling and I'm on tour and he's taking care of his business and stuff, but the brotherhood remains always.
See, I'm going to tell you, the first time I met you must have been 85, 86. You don't remember. You was in upstate New York, Albany, New York. You don't remember this. And you were with, who were you with? Come on. What was his name again?
Were you in training camp?
No, we were in the mountains at nighttime. You had a show, and then you came to this bar everybody was at. It was a black bar.
Was it Deion Sanders?
No. He used to hang out with Andre all the time. Who was his name?
Mookie?
No, it was not Mookie, the big guy. This other guy, I forgot his name. He used to always say he had a baby with Cameron White and stuff.
What's his name? Sugar Dice.
Sugar Dice. Yeah. Sugar Dice. Sugar Dice.
Big shout out to Sugar Dice.
Sugar Dice.
That's the first time you met?
Now, you know what that brings me to, because I remember the first tour when I first got signed to Warner Brothers, and we were all on the airplane together. And then for some reason, years later, like it's still like online that Karen White and I are dating.
Who?
Yeah, that's something. But I don't know where they got the story from. Like I hadn't seen Karen. You know, big shout out to Karen. I love Karen.
Karen White,
an amazing talent. But that was our first tour. I went from the bedroom in Mount Vernon to being in Japan in front of 10,000 Japanese citizens that basically didn't speak English, but they knew every lyric to the song. And it was the most fascinating experience for me the first time out on the road when I was just rehearsing to New Edition in my bedroom. It was crazy. And then I'm thousands of miles away, and these amazing Japanese citizens are singing along, woo, doing all the stuff. And I'm like, wow. I said, is this what this is supposed to be like? So you talk about just an epiphany and just dreaming it to fruition. That's kind of my, you know, been my thing too lately, Mike, which has been, you know, just everything is about the power of positive thinking.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And, I've started a new campaign called IAmNewJackSexy.com. And it's not about me. It's just about every day that you are gifted enough to wake up in the morning, look in your mirror,
and
tell yourself.
Those are the most two important words in the world. I am. Now, what do you put behind that is what you are.
Yes, sir.
I'm a no good rotten nigga. Fuck that bitch. That's what you are. I am God. I am a beautiful person. I am loving. I am caring. I am gratitude.
Yes, sir.
That's what you are.
Yes, sir.
I am. That's what you are.
That's what I wanted to start, you know. So I've embarked upon this journey of, you know, kind of health and wellness. I mean, Mike, you've known me since, you know, I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And I weighed about 160 back then. And then, you know, and then I kind of, you know, went through this journey, this musical journey all over. And people ask me, you know, how'd you gain so much weight? I got to like 305.
Wow.
So within the, I'll fast forward. So within the last year or so, I made a decision to be in charge of my star player. And that's supposed to be me. And not deal with the diabetes type 2 and just try to be healthy, you know, and obviously, you know, where we live in Vegas, it's the devil's, you know, the bottom line is I just made a decision to say, you know what, let me evolve. Long story short, over the last year, I've lost 100 pounds.
Wow, man.
I threw up a small child and their friend.
If you don't evolve, you're no longer allowed to exist.
Yes, sir.
You have to evolve.
Yes, sir.
You want to exist.
And I did it in, you know, different ways. You know, first I started, which we were just talking about earlier, you know, I cut out the bread, rice, pasta, sugar. I did all that because sugar is worse than heroin.
Oh, it's
because it's so addicting. So you have to wean your body off of all the other stuff first.
Yes.
And then I wound up doing surgery. And it was the best thing for me. Very specific because, you know, my grandson, my 5-year-old grandson, I tell you what he said to me. This was kind of the last straw. His last birthday, you know, he walks over to me and it's, now mind you, this is August. So he walks over and he taps me on the belly. He says, "Pop Pops, maybe you could play Santa Claus for my next birthday." I was like, got it.
That's amazing, man. I was probably 330 when I was in the league. So over the last 4 years, I dropped the weight pretty quick. I've lost about 80 pounds. I'm 255 now.
That's fantastic. And how tall are you as well?
6'6".
Yeah, I was going to say you kind of up there. You're in a different gravity.
But man, I know how that feels, man.
Yeah.
We carry a lot of weight because we try to pack on the armor, you know, to protect ourselves from all the shit we've been through.
Or we're running from something.
Exactly.
And sometimes we're just not happy with ourselves, you know, and then you have to. Mike, you said something so incredible early just about it, finding that true happiness. And, you know, you were talking about the toad and stuff like that people may not be familiar with. But it's the most amazing thing when you can finally say to yourself, like one of the greatest things that I saw Mike do over the past few years is his one man show. And what it said to me is, as Michael's evolving from the standpoint of when you can laugh at yourself, it takes you to another level. When you can, people got to stop taking themselves so seriously. You know, it's like, okay, you're fantastic, you're great. But, you know, I'm small, I'm minuscule as it relates to whatever the rest of the universe and what God is all about. When you put yourself in your place.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you can really start to grow and evolve. And I'm just so proud of my brother seeing all that he's doing.
Man.
Thank you. It's just that being involved with the toad, you just start to wonder about things. Like, what's really happening after this life is over, after this physical body is gone?
Yeah.
This don't stop functioning. What we're experiencing now don't stop functioning. I think we go to another dimension or something, but I don't believe it dies. I believe the body dies.
Mike,
but this energy in the body doesn't die.
Mike, don't you feel like, though, in some ways, maybe not to the extent, but in many ways, you were on that path, like Al is saying, you know, before that you came to the toad. You know, your undisputed was... That was a toad experience for you, because that was a shedding of skin. That was a coming into the light.
That was fascinating to watch Mike,
yes.
Michael get emotional. And very specifically, when he was asked that one question, you could tell the sincerity and the genuine nature of what he was speaking about. And it was like a release. It was
absolutely
a release for you. And I love saying, because imagine this man spends his entire life entertaining planet Earth.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, who doesn't love to see the knockouts, Mike Tyson knockouts, and watch all the footage and all, you know, and watch Mike and Ali together with Ray. You know, like I just watched the clip from Arsenio the other day, and just how he humbles himself.
Yes.
You know, the bottom line is at the end of the day, we are still here. It is 30, 35 years later, Mike, and we are taking it to another level, to a new gravity, a new frequency daily. And we're just like computers. My thing is this, update your software. Windows 92 works, you know, it might be cool, but it's not going to do much for you right now.
You know, what do you think of life? Even with you, what do you think? All these people since our life, and the people, you know, they're not here no more. All these guys, they were smarter than us. They had more money. They had better family. They had better education. You know, these guys probably killed themselves. They died of overdose.
Well, I was going to say that. Thank you, Mike. That reminds me of this other thing I wanted to say about what you were saying. Mike being this beacon of light for that, to be able to laugh at yourself and to forgive yourself and release yourself, because so many people take themselves so seriously that they're killing themselves. Absolutely. And others over it.
And they're doing a great job of fronting in terms of, you know, whatever the perception that they wish to give out. And, you know, sometimes it's just the devil.
Well, there's this interesting, I've been diving. It's awesome to, it seems that we just gravitate. People come in here who are on this path, you know, Al, and it's so, I mean, I could listen to your voice all day, dude. Amazing.
That's why he works on a radio station.
I know. Of course. It's, you know, the soul just flows out of it, man.
Thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
And it's beautiful. Just being on the spiritual path. And
but you know what? It is a journey. But even being on the spiritual path and having a focus and having an idea. This is what I tell most people just in terms of whatever you do, have a plan. You don't have to stick to the plan because guess what? The mountain falls down. It's raining. The weather. You've got to turn up another road. There's all type of things to divert you from the goal. But at least you have a plan. You have an objective. And I think that's probably the best thing, you know, as it relates to, you know, whatever you're looking to accomplish. I always say, I do my little broadcast, you know, daily. And I say, listen, dream it to fruition. Everything from something superficial, like if you want a new car, picture yourself in the car, go to the dealer, go sit in the car, you know, do whatever. Or let's say you're trying to beat cancer. Or let's say you have a disease or something. You have to see yourself in that position. And I think that gives you the best percentage and opportunity to win moving forward or getting to your particular goal.
Hey, let's take a quick break from the Hot Boxing Podcast. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt, not so easy. It's hard. Especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you more than just a credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Mike, it's so important, right? I mean, talk about ease of mind, ease of body.
Body, your mind, your brain, your thoughts, everything's in play, you know?
Hey, I know somebody like me, I got into a mountain of credit card debt. I would have loved a company like Upstart.com. So Upstart goes beyond your traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate.
I agree with you. The new up and coming.
The new and up and coming way to get a fast, simple, and easy check on your rate. See, it's just a soft pull, so it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens only if you accept the rate. Hey, so the best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get the funds the very next business day, the next day. And in today's day and time, that can help. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. See why Upstart is top ranked in their category with a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/Tyson to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. It's upstart.com/Tyson.
Do you guys feel like since you were little kids, you felt you had a mission?
That's weird you said it, because I was thinking yesterday, I said, when I was thinking about when I was younger, I said, why did it happen? I felt like I was special in a way. I felt like I wasn't going to die. I felt like something was going to happen, even though I lived in such a dire strait situation.
Yeah.
You know?
But then you wind up feeling like an alien, like there's just something different. There's something, you know, it's not about being more special than anyone else, but there's something different, something very different about your frequency.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm different than the rest of my friends, you know? Yes. They're scared to leave the neighborhood. They're scared to stay. And I always go in other neighborhoods. I go walk all across town, all over the place. You know what I mean? I get confronted by other gangs members and stuff. You know, sometimes they may beat me up. They want to take my money. And sometimes they just say, you're cool, shorty. But I'm always confronting myself with different obstacles in my life. Always done that.
You know, what's amazing, I think that's the synergy that you and I have had. Because I remember at times, like, Michael and I would be at Mr. Chow on 57th Street in New York. And we'd have dinner. You know, we'd have some ladies with us hanging out, so on and so forth. And then we look at each other and go, yo, let's go to Paris. Remember that?
Oh, man.
That's dope.
It's called having an open mind and being accepted, you know, accepting everyone for who they are. There's no closed mind in anything. And then we weren't afraid to travel. We would just get on a plane, go to Germany, go to Paris.
We're the man. We're just young kids. And people, we thought, listen.
That's so dope.
And young, at least from our experience, so young black kids, we didn't know black kids from 50s or 20s or the 70s that did that. They just picked up money, unless they were some drug dealers, but we didn't know anybody. They weren't going with no concert or no supervision. Just two black kids just get up and we go to another country and it's party.
But what'd you guys do when you went to Paris?
But we go there and we know people. We know the girls. We know the people. We introduce us to other girls. It's just different.
From that different to the lifestyle. Administration to the, you know.
It's different lifestyles. It's a different, they treat us different over there than they treat us over there.
Interesting.
They wouldn't never think about arresting us over there. They would arrest us over here in a minute. Holy shit.
That's dope.
Oh man. I remember, though, it's funny because every time Michael and I see each other, we'll reminisce about, like, we'll remember, remember we were, you know, in this country, remember we were at this fight and stuff. Because I made it a point to, I think our friendship developed over time from the standpoint of knowing that he had a friend that, number one, will tell him the truth. I'm not a yes guy, and I'm the guy who doesn't and someone who didn't need or want anything from him, but his success. That was my requirement. I want you to continue to succeed. Hello, Sugar Ditta is in. I think I saw him on Instagram somewhere. You'll reach out, Sugar Dice, if you're here.
Please, I think you're dead, man.
Shout out, brother.
Man, please.
No, I think he's alive and well. He's alive and well.
You guys got to hit me with a badass old war story, man.
No, I'm going to say one thing. Oh, I can't. Listen,
which ones can we tell?
I mean, most of my stuff was about, a lot of it was about sex and girls.
Okay.
But I gotta tell you this.
How about everything
thing.
Leading up to it?
No, all right, I'll do that. Listen, I'm at you won't even. I'm at Eddie Murphy's Harlem Nights premiere. I'm dressed as a gangster. I'm looking beautiful. Versace dress, pinstripe, wool, gangster looking suit from like the
Mike's wardrobe was out of here. He can always dress.
And I got the turban, the hat,
with the brim, and the whole thing.
And so I'm hanging out, right, and I'm hitting on these two Asian girls who look beautiful. I'm hitting on them, right, but they're not talking to me and no and stuff. And so I'm pissed off and I leave. So the premiere, the show is over, right? The movie's over. I come out. I see him. He got the two same girls. Hey, you like to hang out with us? And I said, yeah, I got a hotel room right there. And he's going to the hotel. And he said, the same girl, they wouldn't talk to me. And he said, hey, man. I got somebody. He didn't even know that I was trying to talk to him. The movie's over. I see him. He said, hey, man, you want to hang out with us? I said, yeah, I got a hotel right over there, man. Come and sit up my hotel room.
Man,
that's like what you were saying. You guys are in like parallel universes.
Always. I remember, let me see, one of the stories I remember, there was a place called, was it Roxbury?
Roxbury was L.A.
And L.A., the L.A. club. And, it, at any given point, it would be, you know, myself, Michael, Eddie Murphy. You know,
yeah,
like
all
just
the, anybody, the stars.
Uh-huh, Brad, yeah. You know, just all the big actors. And we would have such a good time. But it was like a very small-knit community that we all kind of associated. Because, like, even you remember when I did my second album, when I did Private Times and the Whole Nine, I actually recorded the entire album. I was working with, I think, Rick James and Eddie Murphy at the time. So I recorded at Bubble Hill at Eddie's. Eddie had the most beautiful mansion there.
I remember
with the studio and the bowling alley. Like you had the bowling alley.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And
I learned a lot from Eddie. You know, I mean? As a kid being around him and I looking at his houses and stuff.
Yeah, Eddie was like, he was the blueprint of Fly.
Yeah, like,
he was the blueprint
guy,
of
like
class and Fly. And he made it. Because
he was out in the early
fun.
80s. We came out in the middle 80s, close to the end of the 80s. But he came out in the early 80s. He was before us, and he'd be seen with the Rolls Royces, the mansions.
So he was
and we'd
kind of
hang around him. Yeah, we would hang with him. We'd say, oh, this is what we're going to do when we get some money. Like, we were famous, but we didn't get the check yet. You know, we were with all the famous people and the rich people, but we didn't get the check. Once we got the check, we knew what we were going
to
do with it.
We were prepared. We knew what to do.
Yeah, we said, okay, this is what we're going to do when we get that check.
Wow.
And, oh, I've been to Liza Minnelli's apartment, man. It was like bigger than like the whole, long as the whole block in New York City.
It goes all the way around. Yeah. And you see the whole Central Park.
Listen, man, I said, this is what I'm going to do when I get my money. This is what I'm going to do when I get the check. These guys prepare you for when you get the check. This is what happens when you're young, you're up and coming, everybody sees you're special. You start hanging around these guys, and, you know, they seem like normal guys, but if you know they're famous, but they hang out, and then you know they're special when you go to their house.
Yeah.
So, shit.
I remember
this
going
is not a
to
a normal motherfucker right here that be hanging out with us.
Yeah, it's like you can get exercise just walking around the house, you know, 20 acres, you know. But I remember probably one of the most fascinating visits that I had. I think it was Christmas time or something, and I remember going to Mike Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones' place in New York, and it was the entire top floor of like one of the New York City buildings, and you look out and you see Central Park, you know, what have you. And I was, you know, and then we all, it was, I think it was myself and, you know, we all got in the piano. Catherine Zeta-Jones can sing. Like, yeah. She can sing a face off. Yeah. She goes in. So, but it's just, imagine everybody just having a good time. And it was just like one community of just people just having a ball and just having fun and enjoying themselves. And I miss that sometimes too, you know.
Man,
is
shit.
It different now?
Well, for me, let me tell you, the blessing for me as it relates to now, I'm a bit of a, like, don't let the love songs fool you. I'm a bit of a nerd, you know. So I'm into Google Analytics and data and, nice. And things of that nature, and understanding that very specifically as it relates to R&B and New Jack Swing and that era of music, that late 80s, you know, 90s, the digital footprint for this particular genre of music is so significant all around the globe right now. And I'm elated that my phone's ringing. It's like I'm an old black Justin Bieber or something. Like, it's crazy. It's like 1988 everywhere I go. And it's just a testament to knowing that, and this is something I talk about when I do speeches and stuff. I say, listen, there's a generation of women who are starving to be told, I love you again. Mm. So they gravitate towards our music. Bobby Brown, New Edition, Al B. Shaw, Keith Sweat, Tony, In Vogue, SWV, like this. There's this pocket of music that's just that feel good, fun. Yeah. I remember when.
And it's not like I love you and sounding like a pussy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, I love you so dearly, my love. And you're sounding, it's like a manly, I love you with all my heart sincerely.
And then with some cool Bobby Brown dance steps. Yeah.
Forgive me, okay? Forgive me. I love you sincerely. Forgive me.
And you know what's funny? So my first tour, so, you know, I remember, I think I just went to see you in Atlantic City. You won one of your 100 belts. And then it was myself and Kimberly.
I remember that day.
Remember that day?
That was a good night.
We had a wonderful time.
That was a great night.
God rest her soul.
That was a great night.
Yeah,
brother.
She loved you too, man. You're always such a gentleman and such a sweetheart.
It was a great night.
And I remember that after that I had gone on tour. And I remember we got to Madison Square Garden. And in fact, I just saw the amazing job that Jesse Collins did with the New Edition stories and the Bobby Brown story.
Yeah,
the amazing story.
Ass,
so
man.
I remember the.
They showed you on the show.
And I remember I think we sold out Madison Square Garden 4 nights in a row. Now imagine I'm this kid from Mount Vernon, from up the street, right outside of the Bronx, is 4 square miles, and I would be in my room doing little dance steps, trying to copy, you know, New Edition and watch them perform. And, you know, and I really want to do that. You know, I want to be on the Soul, you know, the Soul Train Awards. I want to be on the, you know, the Grammys. I want to be, and I would speak it into fruition, you know. And I remember, so we finally hit the New York circuit of the tour, Madison Square Garden. That particular night, I think my album just went platinum. And so I decided to a surprise for my dear friend, and we got him a big platinum, and I brought Michael on stage. I remember this, I brought Michael on stage, right? Now, mind you, this place was 22,000 people.
22,000.
So we walk out, Mike walks out, and you could hear the rumble all the way in New Jersey. The people went nuts. Now, you thought, you would think that it was Al B. Shaw, Bobby Brown, and New Edition on the stage all at once. No, when Mike came out on the stage, they lost their mind. And it was the greatest thing to see. And he was just so humble. You know, Mike has that walk. He's just like, oh, I'm just chilling, you know, whatever. And then I found the photo. I finally, that's the one I just told you. I just found the photo of me and Mike holding the thing, and I'm all like, now I lost the weight again. I was going to say before, I'm all skinny. Mike, you should see, and of course, you know, Mike is just like.
You did the motherfucker, man. Fuck, man. You're so lucky.
Well, you got to bring Mike on stage again.
Yeah.
The
Kind Fest.
Oh, that was dope.
That was so much fun. In fact, you know, official Al B. Shaw is, you know, my Instagram. And so I have a clip on there. So if you get a chance to check it out, there's a clip of the launch of, obviously, this amazing organization, obviously, you know, Tyson Ranch and the Kind Festival. Miguel?
Yeah.
And ASAP Ferg. And what a turnout. I mean, it was thousands and thousands of young people just filling the stands. And so I took some footage and we cut it together. And
it looked crazy.
It looks incredible. In fact, I'll make sure I forward it to you so you have it. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you guys have some really amazing, amazing things in the works. And
we're getting ready to have on the 12th of October. It's going to be the next Kind Festival. We're looking forward to trying to get this young girl. I forgot her name. Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
Eilish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's blowing up. She's blowing up.
Yeah, we're trying to get her.
Yeah, hell yeah. She'll do
it. Trying to get her. We're going to have her sell Dwink. We want to put some Dwink on her.
We get Dwink, y'all. We got CBD infused water. And we've got CBD sodas and THC
and the CBD. And what, you know, and I'm glad we brought that up, because what people don't realize, very specifically traditionalists and in the modern era, this is so significant for health and wellness and healing and things of that nature. People who are dealing with whether sickle cell anemia or you know, just all type of ailments. This is all about healing now.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, Al, listen, and I want to sell my product. It'll take I think another generation for the kids to understand, because they have to first stop becoming addicted by the poison that we've been taking. We're addicted to it, so it's going to be hard to give it up.
All of the processed foods and all of the sugar and all the stuff.
It's
going
to be hard to give it up. Yeah. It's not going to be easy fight.
Sugar.
They're not going to give up without a fight. Trust me. Sugar, they're not giving up without a fight.
I know, man.
So, you know, it's going to be processed, you know. Some people, we're the only species that know this is killing us and we still take it. Only species that do stuff like that.
Like, this is what's great. You, like I said, you've spent your entire existence entertaining planet Earth in terms of, you know, putting your body through this. It's almost impossible even to think of it. Like, that's why anybody who knows that, you know, we know each other, they'll say something. The first thing that I tell them, I said, you couldn't walk a millisecond in his shoes. That's why you can't say nothing to me about Mike Tyson. I'm just going to tell you now, you cannot walk a second in his shoes. With this man, he sacrificed his body, his whole life, you know, entertaining the entire planet. And now you've taken part two, because we don't call it a comeback. We just call it, now you're updating your software. It's part two. And now what you've done is now you're giving back on the health and wellness side of things, because, you know, I know you also have the stuff, you know, the pain management stuff. And so imagine who's the best representative between you and Shaquille, the two best people on the planet to deal with pain management. Because imagine Shaquille was like the Mike Tyson of the NBA, because imagine having to be beaten the most dominant. You're the most dominant of all time. Shaquille, the most dominant player, you know, just, you know, no disrespect to any other players.
It's a good comparison.
Right. But meaning that you in there banging, like you in there going in and people, and they trying to hurt you.
Yeah.
And you're going up against new fresh meat all the time.
Guys who want to prove themselves.
Exactly.
Against the great Mike Tyson.
I have a question for you, Mike. So what do you think your greatest challenge was as being a prize fighter, being a world-renowned prize fighter? What was your greatest challenge?
With me. It was me. It was my demons, my psychology, not saying, why is it me? Why do I have this and these guys don't? What makes me different than these guys? Me doubting myself and questioning myself. That's why me and not them? He's smarter than me. He's more judged. He had a better family. He's, you know, why not? Why him and not me? I used to question myself all the time. But in front of the world, I told everybody I'm the best fighter God created. There's nobody could beat me. But I never could understand that. You know, why is that? Why am I getting all this money? Why am I getting all this pussy? I really didn't do nothing, but I don't know these people, but, you know, you're fucking strangers. You know? But just, you know, and then you get this. That's a drug, too. I get addicted to that, fucking strangers. You just don't know this person. You're in the airport, you're talking to the fucking one of the air clerks, the next thing you know, you have in the office. It's just sick. It's really sick. It was an illness. And, you know, from that acting up, it got me in a lot of trouble, got me caught up with a rape case, got me caught up with bad relationships with other girls that exposed me in the paper from things I've done to them. Yes, it was really sick. And I couldn't stop. I didn't want to stop. I couldn't stop. No. Oh, fuck.
But again, there's a maturation process that we all go through. And that's most significant to know the evolution of what Michael Gerard Tyson has been through from the beginning, but I don't think you would ever change a thing about the journey.
Like, you,
because it made you the man you are today.
And stuff. Because as I get older, I realize why I was that way, and I never thought about that. I had mother issues. I had big time mother issues and stuff. Right, but
and you addressed that also in your one man show, which I saw. I love the intro, and I love the clips that you do and on the Vegas show, the one man show, Undisputed Truth, correct. And it shows, it just kind of gives you a brief history. But again, like I said, I think that the greatest part of the evolution is being able to kind of laugh at yourself and say, hey, listen.
Well, we have to laugh at yourself, because we take ourselves too seriously. Like, we're tough guys, and we can't die and stuff.
And then I think, for the most part, I think all of us, especially as athletes, I'm a former athlete. Like, I wish that, you know, I had my little letters for different schools, you know, Iowa State and, like, I think Indiana, you know,
hell
whatever.
Yeah, bro.
And you know, because I wanted to play football. I wanted to play quarterback. I wanted to play football. And then, obviously, you know, if a guy – imagine telling a single mother – who takes public transportation. She's got two or three jobs. For some reason, I don't know how, I went to a private school. I had a uniform and I had a BMX bicycle. You know how important that was? And you know from where we grew up, you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about tomorrow.
You don't know shit.
You know, it's not promised. So, but the point was, I was trying to figure all those things out. And then you start to realize, you know, my mother, again, this is kind of where our synergy comes into. But with my mother, my particular mother, it went from, she made me what's called a citizen of the world, meaning that, so I grew up with a group of kids that, you know, two Indian kids, they were twins, Nimish and Dharmish. Then I had the Irish kid, Brendan Feely. And then I had Tony was the Italian kid. And then I grew up in this little rascals, you know, when we all rode bikes together and it didn't matter. We weren't looking at color. We weren't looking at religion. We weren't looking at anything. We just hung out and we threw rocks and we got into trouble and threw snowballs through windows and ran and, you know, this is what kids do.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about that earlier, Mike and I were talking about how, you know, just all of this racism and this unaccepting of others and so forth, that's a taught behavior.
Yeah.
Nobody's born a racist.
Yeah.
Nobody's born, you know, a bigot. I think that's a taught behavior.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now that's a blessing. I feel like that was such a blessing for me because I spent my early childhood in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I was born in New York.
And that's where our first Uptown office was, 4th and Park Slope.
Oh, wow.
Uptown Records. Really? Yeah, right on that corner. Right.
That's dope,
man. Isn't that crazy? What was your experience growing up in Brooklyn, especially at that time, too, because it wasn't very diverse in terms of—
Wow. Park Slope, killing nigga out there. They kept nigga right, they're going to kill him.
Like at night, there were like gang fights on our street happening. But, you know, it was amazing, man. It was such a tight community and such an incredible neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, I went to PS 107 right around the corner on, that was on 8th Avenue and 14th Street. We lived on 12th Street. And we'd walk there, you know, from like second grade on. I was walking to school. You know, the guy who ran the corner store, you know,
he— So everybody knew everyone.
Everybody knew everyone. You know, and I'd go spend afternoons at my buddy Pedro's house. His family was straight from Brazil. His mother would cook us the most incredible food, you know, and we'd just hang out. And I mean, I remember moving to L.A., you know, it's much different because people are driving all the time and in cars so much that the culture is so different. You know, in Brooklyn and New York, you're on your feet all the time.
And it's a metropolitan city. People don't realize California, like L.A., is completely different. Like even on the radio side, I was hosting middays on Hot 92. This is before Big Boy took over, or the station. They turned into a hip-hop format. It used to be old school and R&B. And I remember listening in the programming meetings that, like even with Kiss FM, you know, where Ryan Seacrest is, that particular station is programmed for 13-year-old Maricela from Pacoima. So just to understand that it's a different, you know, each market is different. In New York City, obviously, is about Funkmaster Flex and Chuck Chillout and Red Alert. And, you know, obviously when we grew up, you know, with Vaughn Harper and 107.5.
And Frankie Crocker.
Yep. Remember that Kiss FM, WBLS, all that? Yeah.
Ken Spiderweb.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. So, you know, sports are on hiatus with everything going on in the world, but it doesn't mean that there's nothing to bet on. Now, our hotboxing good friends and exclusive partners, BetOnline, have all the action going on this weekend. And, Mike, I know you were in WrestleMania years ago.
Big time, yeah. I'm in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Say what? Then I know you'll be watching this weekend, man. WrestleMania 36. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, has all the WrestleMania 36 action, including one of the main events is Randy Orton taking on Edge. So Edge is one of the old school guys, and he's back.
Man. Randy Orton, I remember his father was a wrestler.
Yeah, he was. Well, it's all about WrestleMania 36 this weekend. I mean, it's huge. This is going to be a big two-night event. April 4th and 5th, hosted by Rob Gronkowski. And Bet Online has all of the matches you can bet on, pretty much everything, including one of the big ones, Edge taking on Randy Orton. And Mike, who's your personal favorite?
Hey, listen, man, I stick with the man that I worked with before. He's my partner. I stick with Triple H.
Hey. So get online, Bet Online this weekend. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your 100% sign up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. So, Mike, you did WrestleMania. How was it, man?
Like, I've been watching ever since Bruno Sammartino was champion.
I'm right. So, yeah, two veteran warriors, Edge and Randy Orton. I wish I could see the champ Mike Tyson, but he's gonna be in quarantine, right?
Yeah, I want to be on WWE, man. I'm always down for the McMahon family.
Hey, that's betonline.ag. And don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your 100% sign-up bonus.
But also the fucking realness of New York City, too. You know, we used to take the subway all the time.
New Yorkers don't got no time to hear no shit. They don't want to hear no bullshit. Yeah. They don't got no time. That's the only thing about New York. They don't got no fucking time. There's no time for shit.
Yeah.
Get out my way, motherfucker. There's no time.
Yeah.
There's no time. It's walk. Get out my fucking way in New York.
It's very
the fuck
honest.
Out my way.
It's very hard.
Yeah, too hard.
Say,
for me
we just keep it 2019 all day.
Get the fuck out my way. That's New York. Get the fuck out my way.
Yeah. The energy there is just explosive.
It ain't like LA. LA strangers say hi to each other. You say hi to somebody, you know me, motherfucker? You a faggot? What are you, fucking gay? In New York, they nigga explode. You don't know you. Somebody don't know you. Say hi. What the fuck you waving at me for, motherfucker? It's totally different.
It's true, man.
It's totally different than over here. There's some crazy motherfuckers.
Well, I had a pretty amazing upbringing as it relates to a place we call Money Earn in Mount Vernon. Now, and I'll give you a little bit of a description. Mike is very familiar because Mike was always in Mount Vernon to come hanging out.
Listen, my first wife, Robin Givens, used to be his babysitter. They used to babysit him.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's right. That's right.
So crazy.
So we lived in a place called the Plazas. Like, I lived on 3rd Street. You know, I lived in a few different places on Kingsbury Road, but I do remember living in the Plazas, and you had, it was like four buildings. It was the Saratoga, I think it was the Quincy, it was the you know, whatever the name of all the buildings were. And I lived on the second floor in 2X. So my mother and I had a little studio apartment. And I think so Robin, her mom, Miss Ruth, and her younger sister, Stephanie, which is my first girlfriend, actually. So that's like, you know, third, fourth grade type stuff, you know. But that was my first girlfriend, you know, and my first kiss and all that stuff. So it was just funny that
so
he winds up marrying my babysitter later.
Dude,
big
so
big
crazy.
Shout out to Robin.
One love, Robin.
That's crazy. That is so crazy.
Oh, shit.
Wow. That's so wild,
That
man.
Is so crazy.
Al, what are you doing these days? You're just back from tour?
Everything.
Yeah, you know what? It's been truly amazing. I spend, you know, most of the weekends on the road. In fact, I just got off the road. We did a whole Mother's Day run. We did Ohio. So it was myself, Jay Holiday, and then Joey Beans from the Rude Boys. We did a, you know, a very intimate, you know, Mother's Day, you know, pre-Mother's Day celebration. Joey Beans from Rude Boys, written all over your face. Mm-hmm. And then the next day we were in Atlantic City in the big stadium, and we did, it was such a blessing to you know, it was myself, Maze featuring Frankie Beverly, Kim.
Yeah, he's still out there on the road.
Oh, yeah, doing it it well. Yeah.
That's dope.
So, it's weird because my brand for some reason is an eclectic brand where, for some reason, Al B. Shore, the catalog and the artist fits in. You can put me on the road with Keith Sweat, you know, Guy, SWV, Tony, you know, Bobby Brown, RBR, you know, like, and then you can also put me on the road with Al B. Shore, Lisa and the Cult Jam, Stevie B. And then you can put me on the road with Al B. Shore, Big Daddy Kane, Houdini,
yeah,
you know, Rocky, you know, so it's weird. Like, it's just for some reason it fits in with all, you know, because it's part of the generation of that particular generation where it was still musical, but it was straight. Like, I'm a hip hop head.
Yeah,
I listen to Sting, Johnny Mathis, and Wu-Tang.
It's versatile,
but it's got to be rugged. Like, yeah, the beats got to be hard. It's the music we listen to because we grew up listening to hip hop, you know
what? I grew up listening to, like, but he said Johnny Mathis, Denise Williams, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and all those guys. And,
classic.
Then fucking hip hop just came out of nowhere, like 79 or something, just blew everybody away.
Yep. And of course,
78, right?
And you remember back then, so Mr. Magic, Magic, yes. super blast, blast.
No magic.
And it was a WHBI, something like that.
I don't know.
It was one station that played. So And what we would do, remember the pause tapes? So you get your box and you got you got your box ready
my
and,
radio.
And your radio and you hit the pause and as soon as the DJ starts talking, boom, and you record and then you gather all your hip, you know, your tapes and then you ride around in the car and you have all your hip hop because that was
radio commercial free. Right. That's music.
Mm-hmm. That's dope.
And I think because we did that back in the day, I think that very specifically, that's where the new formats of radio, like the Sirius XMs of the world and things of that nature, some of the stuff that's commercial free, now, right? If you think about it now, we probably created that
you
format.
You bring your box outside and people just be standing around you dancing. You got box and people just there, the whole park is dancing off your music.
And it would be perfect because you could do it on beat too if you're really good at it. It's the original version of what the kids call mixtapes now.
Yes.
But that was the original and that's what we listened to. Like, in fact, we used to do that, and my cousin Kyle West, who's my musical partner, my older brother, his older brother, which is I call him my brother as well, but it's my cousin, he was old enough and he had a license, so we used to take my Aunt Laura's, God rest his soul, wood grain station wagon, right? And we would skip school, and we would drive downtown, but we would listen to the radio, we would listen to the cassettes that we made. And you know,
eight track back. I remember eight.
Man,
crazy.
No, but listen, though, it's so crazy. You would hear people from different. Like I say I'm from New York. You would hear guys from Manhattan. They'd take Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel, and those guys. You hear people from Rochester, New York. Everybody, you be in a group home or you be in an institution. Guys go back home and bring their tapes, and you hear those guys rapping. And everybody was doing it all over the country.
Right, and it was funny because it was like in slightly different styles because obviously New York had its own style, and just like how Atlanta and the Dirty South or whatever the terminology might be. You know, and they go in genres like every 10 years, 5 years, you know, and it switches. And then Atlanta, you know, it's how like Hollywood was it. It was Los Angeles. It was, you know, Hollywood, Universal. Now the new Hollywood is Atlanta. All the things that the amazing things that Tyler Perry and you know, that they're doing, you know.
Georgia is huge for production.
And now at the end of the day, what people must realize is don't waste your time building a huge building with all type of effects. Guess what? Get yourself a green screen. And you could be in New Zealand if you want to.
I believe that.
Yeah.
You know, it's entertaining. The technology of entertainment also changed. Now, so Jamie Foxx can play me in a movie, right? He could play me now as 2014 or 12 now because they have this animation, this gadget that may remember Benjamin Button that can make him look younger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Make him look like me. So he could do this movie because he said, I want to do this movie before I'm 60. He said, but he could do me at 60 when I'm 12.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they can't have to look for no young actor. They don't have to give no young actor a break or a chance in life. We get this old nigga and we make him 12. And we know he can act too, so we don't need big young up-and-coming guys.
Big shout out to Fox, man. What an amazing. Let me tell you this. People, of course, and I don't even want to say that they don't realize, but this particular entity / prodigy that we call Jamie Foxx can do it all.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see Jamie Foxx in black tail and ties. Just sitting at a piano at Carnegie Hall, because he can do that, and then he can blame it on the alcohol. He can do that. He can do it all. But this man is so blessed in terms of his voicings and his ability to, you know, his timing and his comedic timing. Just as an actor,
his embodiment,
but a beautiful human being,
and he's a great guy as well. Yeah, absolutely. I had an opportunity to work with him on the first HBO special. I'm one of the executive producers.
Amazing, dude.
What kind of guy is he to work with? What's that about?
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
The guy could have all this beautiful talent, beautiful people, but working with him could be like, whoa.
Nightmare.
No, yeah, he's nightmare. Just absolutely.
Yeah. Let me tell you
something. Just absolutely brilliant and brilliant talent. And obviously, you know, he's still here for a reason. But that was one of my first experiences to be, you know, involved with TV production and so on and so forth. And I did more kind of the watching and just kind of, you know, learning and that aspect of it.
Let me tell you a story about Jamie. Let's talk about Jamie.
We got to get him on the pod.
He'd definitely do it. But listen, right? Jamie's awesome. So one day my friend needs some money from me. This is in the 80s. My friend asked me for some money. He said, why he needs this money? No, he wants to open up this business. So I give him the money and stuff. So this is my business too, I hope you know. But I can't never do it. I'm fighting. I can't take care of no business in Los Angeles. It was nothing, $200,000. It was no money back then. And I come to office and hang out. So I'm not good. I'm not used to being in the office. I'm a street kid. You know, I'm champ. Stuff. I'm 20. I start playing dice games in my office. You know, since I paid the money, we just start dice games. So all the bloods, everybody's up there shooting dice. And then my friend, hey, Mike, this is a new employee.
And it's Jamie Foxx. He's selling pages and phones for us.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But I didn't know he was a comedian because our friend also, what was it called?
He hustled his ass off.
He did a hell of a job.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
I am so proud of this man.
He working with Prince Eitel Joe? Remember Prince Eitel Joe? You know, he passed away. God rest his soul. Remember, because he had the beeper shop on Cahuenga, right next to the
No, we was on La Cienega.
La Cienega, okay. Yeah. All right. Again, it's great to see the evolution of artists and hear the stories. Like now the next move for me is now embarking, which, you know, we've been talking about embarking on telling my life story now, you know, like the new edition of Bobby Brown, you know, and that format, because I've been kind of the silent one who's had so many different experiences. And I think it's finally, and I would never talk about it because I was never about, I never did this to be a star. I never did it for the accolades. I did it because I was just in love with music and I couldn't live without it and I couldn't breathe without it. And I would, you know, and that's something that, you know, I wanted to make sure people know. Very specifically, like, if you do this for the right reason and you respect it and you love it and respect it, because sometimes you get out of whack and the wires get crossed and so on and so forth. You know, you go through this journey. And there was even a point at one point where I just said, you know what? You know, after I was signed to Warner Brothers, you know, they gave me a few meal tickets. And then all of a sudden, you know, they fire, they get rid of all, you know, I got the chance to work, you know, like I said, Andre Harrell, brilliant, you know, Benny Medina, brilliant, you know, Eddie F. You know, I was in a group. I don't want to say I was in the group, but you know, we did the first demos for Heavy D and the Boys, and that's me singing all the backgrounds and so on. It was just some kids.
Remember, we were all together that one night before he died.
Yeah.
Remember, we were in Vegas. We were all together.
I think
together.
We're in Vegas. Yeah.
Wow. And y'all were saying it was like uptown up there because everybody mm-hmm. from uptown was there.
Wow. Yeah, man. And I, you know, big shout out to Mr. Dwight Myers, aka Heavy D, the king of Mount Vernon. Let's not get it twisted. He is the king of money earning Mount Vernon. 4 square miles. And we come from this really cool place.
Wasn't he an awesome guy, Heavy? And his mom, we used to go to his house. His mom used to cook for us, take care of us.
Man.
Jamaican lady and stuff.
Just an amazing, you know, big shout out to Floyd as well, too. But just
Floyd's still around,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think Porsche's sister passed as well. So God rest her soul, too. Just a nice family. The mother, the father, everybody. Just and it was nice. Let's give a quick story about Hev. The magic to Heavy D is this. Hev was probably so significant around the planet because for some reason what Eddie F and Heavy and, you know, we all kind of created was a hip hop artist who was so gifted and talented regarding his spit game and all the other stuff. But you could play Heavy D for your grandson. Your grandmother,
the guy in the world,
and the hardest cat in the hood, and they all loved it the same. So how do you accomplish that musically? Where, like I said, I could play for my grandson, you could play for your grandmother, and the hardest cats in the hood, and it still rings like it's still.
He wasn't cursing nothing. He was respectful.
Special man.
So we're gonna take a quick break from the Hot Boxing Podcast. Now look around you; it's a wireless world. Everybody needs a good pair of earbuds, especially with what's going on in the world today, right, Mike?
Absolutely, man. Golly.
Everybody's spending time on their own. I mean, what do you do when you're locked in the house but exercise, right? It's the best way to do it.
That's what I do, 2 times a day, exercise. If I can, I get in 3 times a day. Body, your mind, your brain, your thoughts, everything's in play, you know?
Now, you already know that you want to grab your pair of Raycon earbuds. They start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. The latest model, the E25, is the best one yet, with 6 hours of playing time, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. That's what we're all looking for.
I agree with you. They're the new up-and-coming earbuds of our generation, and I'm looking forward to have on the set.
It's time for you to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Right now, you can get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Tyson. That's buyraycon.com/Tyson for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Tyson. Okay, Mike, so what's the best workout to do in the house with your Raycon earbuds?
There's so many you can do. You can do sit-ups. You can do push-ups. You can go out. You can do your down the stairs, run up the stairs, your sprints up the stairs. There's so many things you do. If you have weights home, you can work your weights out. I do 300 sets. I do four sets of 25 with 40 pounds, and I do 35, and then I take 50 pounds from the machine and get to go back and forth.
And you look good, too, by the way. I'm just saying, man.
I feel like a king.
Yeah, big shout out to Pete Rock, too, man. But another one, again, from Mount Vernon. You know, I'm Rashad.
Tell us about this, man.
I was watching Pete Rock and those guys, the King of Rock, were running and did a video with them. And they did it, the King of Rock.
Absolutely.
Man, NYC, the five boroughs, bro. I don't know if there's any more potent collection of just superstar human beings. Forget about whatever success you want to talk about, but people who come into life understanding what to do or having a purpose, I think.
You know what? Because I think the hustle was so prominent as it relates to.
Is Tootie still alive?
No, Tootie passed away as well. I just saw a photo of all of us. It's Dio, Tootie, myself, Hev.
Can we get
Trouble T. Roy. Yeah.
To post with the pod?
Yeah, absolutely. Just remind me. I'll get it, man. It's just.
Tootie was off the hook.
Oh,
from
I love.
Brooklyn, too.
Wow, I love. So we're from a place called Money Earning Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
It's truly probably one of the most amazing places to grow up, knowing the rich culture. You have everybody from Dick Clark to Art Carney. To E.B. White, you know, the author of Charlotte's Web, you know, obviously Puff, myself, Heavy D, Pete Rock, Seal Smooth,
crazy.
Ben Gordon, Gus and Ray Williams, Felicia Rashad, Ahmad Rashad, Ms. Shabazz as well, Malcolm X, you know, and it's just truly this amazing, one of the most amazing places on planet Earth. Mm. And what's really funny is that everywhere I travel all over the world, I run into somebody from Mount Vernon.
Wow.
Always. I could be in a grocery store in Iowa and say, you know, my mother's from Mount Vernon. It's crazy.
That's amazing, man.
How are your kids doing, man?
Everybody's fine. Everybody's fantastic. Yeah. It's been a very different year. You know, I never like to say anything negative, so it's been a very different year with the loss of, obviously, of your good friend and my ex, you know, with Kimberly. And just what an amazing lady and just an amazing soul and an amazing human being. And yeah, so, you know, God rest her soul.
We came far in life from where we came from. Right? We came far.
Yes, sir.
We didn't do bad.
Yeah, we did okay. Mm-hmm. We did okay. And I keep the young people as well as yours, you know, in prayer, man. And, you know, big shout out to your nephews. Lil Quincy was the youngest baby. Big shout out to Devin Loud.
What Quincy's doing now? Is he work? I saw him on the show Star.
Yeah.
Is he working at acting now?
Yeah, he's doing, you know, film and television and creating, you know, campaigns. And what's great about all three of them, you know, big shout out to Lil B. Shaw as well, Devin Loud, Quincy. And what's great about what they all do is there's no nepotism. There's no, yo, my dad is this, my son.
Right.
No, like if I called right now, he's in his room studying a script. He's not. It's not about, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this. No, he knows about the no. You know, they all know, like, you know, because not every, you know, but every L is not a loss. It's a lesson, just like with yourself. If you're in a fight, well, you didn't really lose, man. But if you went through a battle and you didn't come out victorious, there's still some victory within that lesson of getting beat.
Yes, the lesson of getting beaten.
Yes,
it won't happen again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Learn the faults that you made and capitalize on them.
Absolutely. But I will, first of all, I want to say thank you for just probably being one of the realest cats on the planet ever, to have the journey that you've had, and to, you've always just been this humble nature. Like, people don't realize, people see Mike Tyson, you know, he can knock everybody out and all this other stuff, and they see this guy. All we've ever done is laugh together. We've cried together about life, about situations. We've laughed together. It's been a true brotherhood, like, for so many years. And it was really nice to hear some of the stories, because you took me back when we did Unsung on TV One.
Boy, that was pretty good. How did that come out?
It came out. I'll send you the link to it. It came out really well. And I do believe, because I was told, you know, by some of my LBs, that it's like the number one viewed Unsung of the series. And in fact, you know, I used to do the voiceovers for season one. So when the show first started, I think the first season was El DeBarge, the DeBarge family, Phyllis Hyman, Donnie Hathaway, and the Clark sisters. So that was an amazing experience as well, doing voiceovers and syncing to film and things like that. So
that's awesome, man.
Just been having fun with it, man. Just really having fun with it. And I, like I said, I look forward to being out on the road. I love that's my medicine.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing you think that you did in your life?
Those three amazing young men that I have as my sons, that's probably the first accomplishment. And I didn't do everything right, and I didn't, you know, I didn't.
How do you know you didn't do it right?
The feeling inside.
Oh, that's so pretty. Yeah, that's cool.
It's the
I thought you were going to be saying because this is right and this is wrong.
No, no, it's just cool. because I'm always thinking what could I have done better? How can every day I'm thinking how can I be a better father? How can I be a better, you know, how can I be a better man? How can I be a better person? And in the light of dealing with this industry, which is the devil, as you know, and dealing with all the derelicts and the people that you encounter and that try to set you up and try, I mean, you know what it is. You'd be so surprised. It'd be somebody that you rock with, that you grew up with, somebody that you were the best friends with. They will set you up in a heartbeat because they're just not happy.
Listen, hate happens within tenths of a second. You're cool off and boom, it's right there, hate. Somebody come on saying, boom, hate. Hate is the first response you get before love.
And that's unfortunate.
You get a defensive response, then you get, you know, an open response, you know? It's just what human beings are. We're animals to that degree. You know, we have more fear than the animals in the jungle have of each other, you know.
Well, I have a fun joke that I'll share with you, something that Mike did to me. We were at his house. Okay, now I remember. We're at Mike's house, and I think, was it the Cleveland house? It might have been the Jersey house or the Cleveland house.
I have no idea.
So Michael and I have this affinity to animals.
I love that you call him Michael.
So we have this affinity to animals, so we love animals. So at one time, I think I got two mountain lions. Remember, I named them both Lars, and you had the tigers.
You had them?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm telling you, we did everything together. Like, we would go shopping and go.
Lions.
But I remember
that's
one day.
Dope too.
Hold up. And Michael had these dogs, like the Bullmastiffs and Incarnate Kenny Corso, what's it called?
Kane Corso.
Yeah, all I know is that these are massive dogs. But Mike, like, is one with the animals. Like, he loves it. They love him.
Yeah.
So he's getting ready to get up to go train and do something. And I remember I'm in the back. I'm like, okay, you know, it's halfway dark out. And Mike comes up behind me, grabs me, and picks me up and throws me over the fence with the dogs. I say, yo, Ike. I said, and that's other. That's then when you. It's Ike. Yo, Ike, stop playing. Stop playing, Ike. Stop. Stop playing, Ike. Stop. Stop playing. Right. I'm like, stop. And also, and you see, so all of a sudden, the dogs.
And the dogs start pussy.
Hold on. Wait. So the dogs come running over and they go to see me. And Mike says either plots or he says something and they. And the dogs all froze. I was like, that's some shit. Yo, scared the I know I had to urinate on myself. I did something, but all I know is that when he threw me over the fence, I'm like, yo, stop playing, Mike. Stop. Come on, don't do that. And the dogs come running to me, and he said some German command or something.
Yeah, some bullshit.
And the dogs just stopped like this. Like this, next, just breathing. All I hear is breath. Like, I'm like, yo, why?
This guy threw you.
We used to hang out in my house in Cleveland. That's because a lot of times people would have concerts. You know, you would think Cleveland is far from there. A lot of guys would have concerts in Cleveland. So we would go to concerts. After the concert, we bring guys back to our house. We brought Flav, the Ghetto Boys. We brought a bunch of people back to my house.
No, that's because you had a disco in your house.
Yeah, we did have a disco in the house.
Wait, remember the year I came in? Remember, I think it was Kimberly and I. And I had gotten into the car accident. Remember, I was thrown from the vehicle and I was in a wheelchair that time. It was one of your birthday parties.
That.
Yeah. Wow. Man, it was crazy. Yeah.
Like, I was like my family, like my personal friend. You know, been through everything together. My prison time. We had been through everything.
Yeah, remember I used to go see you in prison.
Yeah,
right?
Quincy was just a baby.
I brought Quincy to the prison with me, and that day, remember that one of those particular days. I think the day that I brought the baby to come see you, I met Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch.
She came to see me. Yeah, right.
She went to see you.
Florence Henderson was sitting in the jail, and I walk in and I have the baby. I have Quincy with me, and I walk in and she looks at me. She goes, hi, like this, and I'm like, hi, how are you? And Florence took the baby, and it was fun. And then Little Al, I think I brought Little Al too to come see you.
Dude, thank you so much, man.
Man, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Awesome. It's beautiful,
love,
dude.
Love, you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come anytime.
Absolutely.
You want to say anything to the people around a million people looking at?
Okay, well, you know, this is what my part two. You know, I turned 50. I've lost 100 pounds. I'm on the health and wellness thing. So I've started something new called I Am New Jack Sexy. Now, it's not what it sounds like, because it's all about every morning that you're gifted enough to wake up and breathe God's good air every morning. Look into your own mirror and tell yourself, I am New Jack Sexy. So what I did was I started an apparel and you know, merchandise line with cool hats and got camouflage hats that says New Jack Sexy. So just go to IamNewJackSexy.com and
hell yeah,
get something for yourself in addition to gift someone else. Someone, maybe somebody you're feeling that you want to rock with, or let's say it's somebody that's going through something harsh, or it could be cancer, it could be something, whatever. And it's just something to have something around you to remind yourself how amazing you are, because sometimes that's all it is. That's the best way to win moving forward, is telling yourself, I'm good. Like we just talked about it. You yourself.
Human beings need that too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They need affirmation.
And we have to evolve into to having self-affirmation.
Yes,
you know?
Cultivating it.
Because imagine, as artists, we're the most insecure people in the world, because what do we do? Our lives are lived by approval. Do I like this album? Did he do good in this fight? Did he win the game? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's and people forget, even though we could be superior on the athletic side or musically or, you know, as an athlete, we're still human beings.
Yeah.
We're very much human beings, and then human beings on a pedestal, so it's easy to shoot at us, you know. And now with the advent of social media, you know, people. So it is what it is, but you got to have thick skin.
Wow, I'm watching social media, and so I'm looking. That's I'm watching it with my wife. We're watching it, and I'm in this place. So what am I doing here? And next thing you know, I'm walking right up to a girl. I'm grabbing her ass, smack right my wife. She's like, "Whoa!" I'm at a porn convention. I'm smacking some girl.
Oh my god!
Oh, there's somebody on film.
It's like
somebody
an old
had
video.
Oh man!
Old video of me in a porn convention, good smacking god. Somebody in the ass.
Well, you don't do that anymore.
Not anymore, brother. You know, this was good fun.
That was part one.
Yeah, I love it. Stuff, I love it. I'm so proud. So proud. Again, congratulations on all that you're doing and with the podcast and with the endeavors related to Tyson Ranch and the Kind Festival and these, the big concerts. So I'm with you. Let's roll. We got another 20 or 30 in us. Let's go.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Fuck yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mike, amazing.
Matter of fact, that you said that, listen, that we have another 30, 40 years, and think, where do you think we're going after that when it's over?
No tengo la menor idea.
I hear that. No idea.
I have no idea, Papa.
That's okay, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's awesome. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening to this awesome episode of Hot Boxing. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. Head to hotboxingpodcast.com for the dope merch. New merch, man. It's fresh.
Oh, yeah.
It's hot.
Dwink responsibly.
It's dope. We got Dwink coming soon.
Dwink
CBD.
Copper gel.
Got
pain
this.
Relief cream. We've got our Tyson Ranch flower available in hybrid sativa and indica strains.
And guess what? Soon to come, we will have a new strain called New Jack Sexy from the Secret Garden.
Fuck yeah.
One love.
Yes, we will.
We're going to plant our seeds in the Secret Garden.
Absolutely,
man.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. Mike, awesome episode, man.
Beautiful, brother.
I'm Evan Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson.
And I'm Al B. Sure.
We're out of here.
One love.
One love. We'll be right back.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.